Beginning here, 10 lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara here is discussing what was mentioned in the Mishnah, that there are certain women that are restricted not because they are erva, but rather because of Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha. In the Mishnah itself, it noted that Isur Mitzvah is Shniot Midivrei Sofrim, those are Arayot Midirabanan, and Isur Kedusha are Isurei Lav and Isurei Asei, generally associated with Kohanim, but have to do with the Kedusha. And the Gemara explained that the reason that the Shniot Arayot were called Isur Mitzvah is because mitzvah lishma ledivrei chachamim, and the reason that the isurim of the Kohanim, as well as Kedushat Israel, were called Isur Kedusha is because of Kedoshim Yu Lelohim, which is brought in the beginning of Parshat Emor. The Gemara does bring the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in a Braita, who flips them around and says that Isur Mitzvah refers to those things that are in Isur Lav and Isur Asei with regards to Arayot, whereas Isur Kedusha relates to Shniot Arayot. But either way, there is this concept that there are Shniot Arayot, and that's what Rava says over here. Rava remez l'shniot min haTorah minayin. How do we have a hint in the Torah to the fact that Shniot Arayot are restricted? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, in the Parshat Arayot and Parshat Acharei Mot in Perek Yudchet, that all of these improper behaviors were practiced by the people of the land before you got here, and Hashem expelled them from the land because of this behavior. And so all of these tovot ha'el, the word that they're using, ha'el, is really ha'elu, which means zot, or these indiscretions, these indecent acts, were practiced by the people that lived in the land beforehand, and therefore they defiled the land. And now he's darshaning from the word ha'el, instead of it saying ha'elu or ha'ele, that el has a connotation of God or something that's strong, and we'll see that in a second from the Pasuk in Yechezkel, and the Gemara Rabba says, based on that, ha'el kashot, that el refers to things that are severe or serious, v'chlal de'ika rakot, that there must be softer ones or lighter forms of isurim. Umaninhu, what are those lighter forms of isurim? Shniot, they are the isurei arayot midrabanan, that are put in place to create a fence around the arayot midoraita. Mamai mashma da'el lishna de kashehu. How do you know the word el refers to something that is hard or strong? Dichtiv vet elei haaretz lakach. In the pasuk in Yechezkel, when it's speaking about the princes and the melucha, it notes that they took away et kol elei haaretz lakach, all the strong men or all the high aristocracy of the land. So there it's referring to elei haaretz, refers to those that are strong and those that are hard, and so too over here. Ha'el is a reference, just like it's a reference to God, to mean it's a reference to powerful and strong, so too over here with regards to Ha'el, it refers to these toivot, these abominations, which are the problematic ones, the severe ones, implying that there are less severe abominations, and that's what Rava says, hints to the fact that there are shniot arayot. Now, some of the tension here, obviously, is if that you're looking for it in a pasuk, that means that it's something that is a din d'oraita. And obviously, it's not a din d'oraita, because from the outset, we said these are shniot d'arayot midivrei sofrim, that they come midirabanan. And that the Gemara is going to make clear at the end of this little piece in the sugya, that we're speaking about a din d'rabanan, and they're trying to find a connection or a hint to it at the psukim, in order to say that there is some basis for this institution of the Chachamim, but not to say that it's actually based in the Torah, or have to say that it is a Torah-based restriction. This is something that's done by the Chachamim, but in general, when the Chachamim did something like this, they tried to look for hints in the Psukim for guidance, or for, in a sense, quote-unquote, permission, in order to allow them to institute such restrictions. So Lema Pliga de Rabbi Levi, let's say this drusha of Rabba argues on Rabbi Levi, Dama Rabbi Levi, Kashe Onshim Shel Midot, Veterim Onshim Shel Arayot, that the punishment that comes for those that cheat in business, in weights, and in measures is much greater than the punishment for illicit relations. Shinezen Emar Bahen El, we just read over here, with regards to the Arayot, Kiyet Kolotevot Ha'el, Asuan She'aretz Asher Lifnechem V'titma Aretz, whereas in Devarim Chafhei and Parshat Kitetze, in the last pasuk before Parshat Zachor, it says there with regards to measurements and weights, Ki To'avat Hashem Lokecha Kolose Eile, Hashem sees as an abomination. Anybody who engages in these practices of cheating and misleading people with regards to weights and measures, kolo se'abel, anyone who does something that is perverse, like this. Yet over there, by the weights and measurements, it says kolo se'ele. So the word is a bigger word. It's ele versus el. And therefore, that's what he says here. Never behen el, v'zeh never behen eleh. By the arayot, it only says el. Whereas by the measurements, it says eleh. Just the fact that it is a larger word or a bigger word indicates that that seems to be a more pernicious or problematic type of behavior with regards to cheating on measurements. So my answer is el kasheh. Ve'le kasheh mi'el, meaning that the word el speaks about something that's severe or something that's very problematic. Ve'ele is something even more problematic than that. So it's not to diminish the problem of illicit relations. It's only to accentuate the problem that's associated with cheating in business and cheating in measurements. So gabe arayot nami aktiv ele. Wait a minute. You just quoted or selectively quoted the pasuk in Parshat Acharimot, which says ki kol havot el asu anshei aretz asher livnichem titma aretz. Only two sukim later, it says ki kol asher yasem kol tovot ha ele v'nechrutu anifashot osot mikerev olam. Talking about the punishment of karet, it says anybody who engages in these abominations in this behavior ha ele, over there it says this behavior with ele with a hey in it. So why don't you say Eile Eile? That should make it that they are on par with each other. They're both severe problems of equal proportion. Where it says no, that Eile is Lemute Midot Mikaret. To tell you that even though both of them are considered toivot, the punishment of Karet is only associated with illicit relations, but not with regards to Midot. And where it says, well, Elamaichem Rayu. Then why are they more stringent? What's the severity that's associated with the midot? Punishment of karet is a pretty serious punishment. If you don't have that punishment of karet by cheating on measures and in business, why is it considered to be more severe or more problematic than the issue of arayot? And the Gemara answers, surprisingly, hani efshar b'tshuva. When it comes to illicit relations, there's a possibility of repenting. There's a possibility of expiation. Hani lo efshar b'tshuva. As regards to cheating in business and in weights and measurements, it's impossible to do tshuva. And as Rashi explains over here, when it comes to illicit relations, there is a single party involved, and it's an issue of ben adam lemakom. And since it's an issue of ben adam lemakom, then the person can do tshuva, repent, and gain expiation from a Kodesh Baruch Hu for this sin that has been adam lemakom. On the other hand, with regards to the measurements, it's a punishment or an issue of ben adam lechavero. And because you cheated so many people, and you have no idea who you cheated, you don't even know how to pay back those people that you cheated. And even though the Gemara says in other places that if you have this ill-gotten gains or this money that was taken or cheated from the tzibor as a whole, that you should give that money to do good with the tzibor. You should donate the money for public works or public things that will benefit those parties that were cheated. Nevertheless, as Rashi says over here, even though that's the case, lav tshuva me'aliotohi. That's not a full-fledged tshuva because you never really return the monies to the party that you wronged. And since when it comes to ben adam lechavero, the party that you wronged needs to be rectified or needs to grant you absolution, since you can't do that here because you have no idea who you cheated because there's so many people and it's impossible to catch up with them, you'll never be able to do tshuva for that problem. And so the Gemara sees that inability to tshuva as putting up a wall or making it a much more severe sin because there's no way to rectify it, as opposed to illicit relations where you could rectify it. Now Rashi already qualifies that and says, koshel aman shelo halid mamzer. That ability to rectify or repent with regards to arayot is only if there was no child born of that illicit relationship or a mamzer that's born. That's because the Gemara terms it in the beginning of the fourth parak in Brachot and other places, muvat lo yichol litkon. It's a mistake that can't be rectified. It's something that happens that can't be reversed. A mamzer is a siman of a mistake that was made, and it's an irreversible thing. So that makes the sin public, and there's a remaining stain or problem for this individual that they can't repent from. So according to Rashi, the birth of a mamzer would not allow one to do tshuva or repent. Therefore, the Gemara's statement over here, the ability to do tshuva, is only if there wasn't a mamzer born from them. And that's the same thing that the Tosfot Yeshanim says over here. Im holid ben, if there's a child born of this illicit relationship, he quotes that pasuk that indicates that it's a mistake that can't be rectified. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim, like the Meiri and the Tosfot HaRosh, who think that even if there's a mamzer born, that there's still an ability to do tshuva. And that's because when it comes to sins that are ben adam lemakom, there is nothing that stands bifnei tshuva, and therefore even if there is a publicity associated with it or a stain on the individual that they can't get rid of, that doesn't mean they still can't gain expiation or repent and rectify that which they did wrong with regards to ben adam lemakom. Now it's interesting to note, I pointed this out in other places in Shas, that the Gemara views the illicit relations or arayot as being an issue of ben adam lemakom, and not ben adam l'chavero. And that's not always so true, meaning that there is obviously an aspect of ben adam l'makom, because if it's done consensually and nobody was taking advantage and no other party was hurt by it, then you maybe can claim that it was an illicit relation, that it was only pogea ben adam l'makom. But many times in those types of relationships, either one party is taking advantage of another party, or there is possibly adultery that's being committed, and therefore there's another party that's being affected by this, and it's not solely a ben adam l'makom problem, but a ben adam l'chavero problem as well. But it's interesting that in many, many places, the Gemara always uses arayot as a classic example of ben adam l'makom, whereas here, theft and stealing, cheating, is used as the quintessential avera ben adam l'chavero. And here again, some of the Rishonim indicate, even with the birth of a mamzer, there still is an ability to do tshuva, because they classify it as a problem of ben adam l'makom and not ben adam l'chavero. So the Gemara is then able to reconcile Rava's position that the word el over here means kashot, which hints at the fact that there are less severe restrictions which were instituted by the Chachamim, but that doesn't dismiss or disregard Rabbi Levi's position, which is that even though the arayot are kashot, the midot are even more kashem, more stringent and more severe than that, and that's because there's no tshuva that can be done for that problem, as opposed to the arayot where tshuva can be accomplished. Rabbi Yehuda amar mehocha. Rabbi Yehuda, as an alternative to Rava's suggestion, says that we learn it out from the pasuk that's found in Kohelet, in the final parak of Kohelet, and that's because in the context of where it's said in Kohelet, towards the end of Kohelet, it says there, v'yoter shaya Kohelet chacham, and more than the fact that Kohelet was a wise man, Od lima dat et ha'am. He taught the people wisdom, knowledge, v'izein, and he balanced or weighed, v'chiker, and he sought out, tikein, and he set in place, mishalim harbei, many different proverbs. And the Gemara takes that as being an institution, as we're going to see in a second, v'nei d'rabbanan, but that might be because of the context in which it's written, because the subsequent psukim say, b'keish kolat imso divrei chefetz, Katuv Yosher Divrei Emet. Divrei Chachamim Kedar Benot Ukemas Mirot Netuim. The words of the Chachamim are like prodders, are like nails that affix something in place. Balei Asifot Net Numero Echad. V'yoter Mehema B'ni Hizaher. You should be even more careful about Dinei D'Rabbanan, even more than Dinei D'Oraita. And in that context, the pasuk before says, V'izen V'chiker Tiken Mishalim Harbei. And the Gemara learns from that, V'amar Ula Amar Rav Elazar, Kodem Shabbat Shlomo Haita Torah Doma L'Kfifa Shein La Uznayim. That before Shlomo HaMelech came along, the Torah was like a basket that didn't have any handles on it. Ad Shabbat Shlomo Vasala Uznayim. And then he put handles on it. Just like the handles of the basket make it more functional and allow you to lift up what's in the basket and protect the basket itself, because you don't have to grab the basket. You have something to hold the basket with. So too, the Shniot Arayot are a protective measure around the Torah itself. Or these Dinei D'Rabbanan protect the Torah. And therefore he created, that's what was Izen V'chiker, from the word Oznayim. Izen means to balance or to weigh. And so here the Gemara is taking that and allegorically saying that it refers to Oznayim, ears, which is a terminology that's used to describe the handles of a basket. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech did. He instituted these items. Now, Tosafot already points out that that's a little strange, because the Gemara says in Erevin that certain Dinei D'Rabbanan that Shlomo HaMelech put in place were Tid Nitilat Yadayim and Eruvin. Yatzat Bat Kol V'amra, and then a heavenly voice came out and said that these were great things that Shlomo HaMelech did. But over there, it doesn't mention Shniot HaRayot. If this is one of the items that he instituted, why isn't that mentioned amongst the Dinei D'Rabbanan in the Gemara in Erevin? So Tosafot suggests over here, Shema Achar Bat Kol Tikna, that he only put them in place after the Bat Kol, meaning that this was a series of Dinei D'Rabbanan. The Bat Kol came out to give a stamp of approval to the earlier ones, and after that he instituted other ones, including Shniot D'Arayot. The Tosafot Yishanim, on the other hand, suggests that they're of a different nature. The reason that it doesn't mention the Shniot D'Arayot in Erevin is because over there, it's talking about things that Shlomo instituted b'chuchmah, that he did through logic and through wisdom, that he instituted them, including Tilat Yadayim and Eruvin. On the other hand, when it comes to Arayot, that's just in Chumrah. That's what he says over here. He was being machmir to make a sayag b'torah. It wasn't anything about wisdom. It wasn't anything about logic to put them together. It was simply expanding the Isurim to create a protective fence around the Torah. And that's not something that you give kudos for to Shlomo HaMelech, because it's something that anybody could do. And that's why it's not included in those items that he's praised for in the Gemara in Eruvin. Others suggest that was not instituted by Shlomo HaMelech, the Shniot HaRayot, but rather that Shlomo HaMelech established the principle or the idea that the Rabbanan could come along and institute extensions to the Torah to protect the Torah. And those that followed him emulated that which he did. And since they emulated it, there's credit given to Shlomo HaMelech for the fact that he began this process of expanding the circle of Gzerot or Takanot around the Torah to protect the Dinei Doraita. And those that followed him, therefore, give credit, or we give credit to Shlomo HaMelech for starting such a process. Rabbi Hoshaya Amar Mihocha, and we have a third option as to where the hint in the Torah is given, and this is found in Mishlei, Perek Dalet, and then in Pasuk Yudal it says, Borach Rishayim Al Tavo, the ways of the wicked do not go, V'al Te'asher B'derech Ra'im, and do not let yourself go in the way of those that are bad. Pira'ehu, the word in this context means avoid it at all costs, or invalidate it, or nullify that way. Al tavorbo, do not pass on that way. Stay me'alav, from the word stia, you should divert yourself from it, vavor, and pass by, and avoid it. So that's the pashtuta pasuk, which means at all costs, one should avoid the ways of the Rishayim. Rashi points out over here that the word para can be used also to mean to enlarge. When someone grows out their hair, like, for instance, the Nazir, or with regards to the Kohanim, the restriction against growing out the hair, it's called gadel pera, means to grow out your hair wildly. And so pera'ehu over here also can mean to expand or to enlarge. And that's what Rashi claims is the drusha of Rabbi Hoshaya over here, which is enlarge the restrictions or enlarge the circumference around the Torah in order to divert oneself or protect oneself from violating the Orach Rishayim or the Derech Raim, to violating those Isurim Doraita. You should institute Dinei Derabanan. Now, Amar Rav Ashi, Mashal de Rabbi Hoshaya, the Ma Davar Dumeh, he says, well, this view of Rabbi Hoshaya, I have a allegory to explain it. Adam Shemeshemer Pardes. Similar to a person who's guarding his orchard. Mishamro Babachutz, a person guards it from the outside, meaning that he puts a fence around it, he makes sure to have placements around it that protect it from the outside, then Kulo Mishtamer, he's able to guard the entirety of the orchard. Misharomi Bifnim, on the other hand, if he does it internally, he tries to protect his orchard, Shilafanav, all that is visible to him, or that which he can see that's in front of him, Mishtamer, that is guarded. Shacharav, that which is behind him, where he can't see, or he can't guard against those that are coming from the other side or from behind him, Enu Mishtamer is not guarded. And the Gemara says about this allegory of Rav Ashi, Had Rav Ashi Bedutei. That is a little bit of a joke. It is not a real mashal, because Hotam Shlefanav Miyam Mishtamer. In that case, if the person guards it internally, there still is certain part of it that is guarded. Meaning that if the person does something where he protects the entire circumference, or he puts up a fence all around it, or he has a watchtower on the outside and he can guard the whole thing, then he protects everything. When he guards it internally, so okay, he can't protect everything, he can't see everything, but at least he can protect a portion of the orchard. On the other hand, here, Hocha, in our case with the Shniot Derayot, Love the Shniot. If it wasn't for the fact that there were Shniot Arayot, Paga Be'er Vagufa, the person would then come to violate Isurim Doraita, meaning that it's a binary situation. If you have Shniot Arayot, that protects the individual, that creates a fence around, that stops people from coming to, even close to, violating any Isur Doraita. And then if you eliminate Shniot Arayot, there's no protection left. There's nothing there. As opposed to Rav Ashi, where if the person's guarding it, at least there's some protection left. May not be complete protection. Absent the Shniot Arayot, that's the situation that there's absolutely no protection. And that's why the mashal is not a good mashal. Of Kahana Amar Mihocha. So now we have a fourth approach, which is Amar Mihocha Ushmartem et Mishmarti. That's the last pasuk found in Perak Yudchet by the Arayot in Parshat Achremot. It says, Shmartem et Mishmarti, Devilti Asot Michukot Atevot Hashem Asu Lifnechem, Lotadomu Mahem Ani Hashem Elokechem. Aseh Mishmeret Lemishmarti. You should make offense to the restrictions that exist, meaning that this is the permission for the Chachamim to institute Gzerot to protect against violations Deoraita. And even though this is actually used as a more generic permission for Chachamim to institute Gzeirot or Takanot, protect against violations Doraita, nevertheless, the placement, it's found in the Parshat HaRayot. And therefore, it's appropriate that the Chachamim by Rayot institute even more, or are more strict with regards to institution of Gzeirot, because the placement of it in the HaRayot is an indication that that needs even more protection, or that the Chachamim's permission is granted through the Arayot, and therefore as a paradigm, it should carry the most restrictions or permission for what's called the Shniyot L'Arayot. Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Hadoraitai. What are you saying now? If we're quoting something from a pasuk in the Torah, as opposed to when you're quoting from Ketuvim, then you're saying now that this is a derivation min a Torah. This is a pasuk in the Torah that says that the Chachamim are granted permission to institute Shniyot L'Arayot. If that's the case, then it's an endorsement midoraita, and it should be a din doraita. So Rav Yosef answers, doraita upershu rabbanan, that it's something that's in the Torah, and the Chachamim explained the meaning of it or the manifestation of it. Rabbi says back to Rav Yosef, kol haTorah nami pershu rabbanan. That's the entire Torah. That's how doraita works. Every doraita, the Chachamim explain to us or give us more information, either through the Torah Shebaal Peh, Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, and the Mesorah, including things like tzitzit. We have no idea what the Torah meant by tzitzit. There we have Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, we have the Torah Shebaal Peh. So those interpretations help us to understand what the Din Doraita is, which Melachot are Asurot on Shabbat. All these items are things that are written in the Torah, but need the Chachamim's explanation or interpretation to help us understand what is meant in the Din Doraita. Ella, what you have to say over here is Midrabanan, the Kras Machta Ba'alma. That's really a Din Drabonan. And the Pasuk is just a hint or a quasi-permission to the Chachamim to institute such a thing. And that's what we started with. Even though they're searching for a source in the Torah or a Pasuk to back up this institution, we know for sure that these are institutions midrabanan. But when the Rabbanan did something like this, they like to find, quote-unquote, permission in the Torah or a hint in the Torah that this should be done or that there's some backing for what they're doing over here. And that's what we had here. We had four different options as to what was the source for this fact that the Chachamim should come along and provide external protection, gzerot, or extensions of Dinei Doraita in order to protect people from violating Dinim Doraita. So now that we've spoken so much about these Shniyot Arayot, Maris brings now a Braita, Tan Rabbanan, Mahim Shniyot. What are these second level Arayot? Meaning that these are not Arayot Midoraita, but these are derivatives, the Divrei Chachamim. And they did this in order to protect against somebody violating a din of the Torah. So for instance, the first one is Emimo, his mother's mother, or his maternal grandmother. Now that is, his mother obviously is an Arayot Doraita. So anybody in that chain upwards, Emimo, his grandmother, his great-grandmother, all the way along, because they're all part of that chain, and they can be confused with a mother, therefore they're restricted all the way along. So therefore, Emimo, his maternal grandmother, is restricted. Ve'im Aviv, and the same thing on his father's side, which is that his paternal grandmother is also restricted. And even though over here there's no confusion, because Arayot with his father is not the issue, it's with his father's wife, who could also be his mother. But nevertheless, as we're going to see later on today's daf, Eim Aviv was an institution that extended from Eim Imo. Just like a maternal grandmother is problematic, the Chachamim also instituted that a paternal grandmother is problematic because they can be easily confused. And then it all became part of one big zerah. We're not going to discuss it now because the Gemara is actually going to question that and deal with that later on. The next one is Ve'eshet Avi Aviv, the wife of his grandfather. And that is because of the wife of his father. His father obviously has to be married to someone. It could be that his mother, and his mother is an Arayot. But sometimes his father marries another woman, and that could be a stepmother. That stepmother is restricted. Just like one stepmother is restricted, now we're saying that also their step-grandmother is restricted, and that is their paternal step-grandmother is problematic because it's similar to the stepmother. And so just one generation above, where it's his grandfather, where he has a step-grandmother, she's also restricted, and Eshet Avimo. And the same thing on the maternal side. The maternal grandfather, his wife is also restricted, or in essence, it's your maternal step-grandmother. And again, the Gemara is going to ask, why is this restricted? Because on that side, there's no restriction. On his mother's side, there's no problem. And therefore, why is there now an institution that her father's wife is problematic? The Gemara again will say that it's because it's very similar when you have a paternal step-grandmother that's problematic, then a maternal step-grandmother is also going to be problematic because they are very similar in nature and we don't want you to confuse them. Again, the Gemara will ask that and discuss that later on. Ve'eshet achia av minaim. With regards to an aunt is restricted when it is through the father, meaning that it's your father's brothers. Your father's brothers, which are brothers through the father. Then Min HaTorah, their wives, or your father's sisters, those aunts, are restricted or arayot midoraita. So again, it has to be your father's brother or your father's sister. Father's sister is your aunt. She's restricted midoraita. Your father's brothers, when they share a common father, their wives are your aunts that are restricted. Now, the Gemara says here, Shniot Arayot, add two other aunts to this problem. One is Eshet Achiav Minaim. If your father has brothers through a shared common mother, not through a common father, but through a common mother. So your father has a half-brother where they share a common mother. His wife, your aunt, is problematic, not Midoraita, but Midorabanan, because again, it looks like your aunt, when your father shares a common father with the brother, that woman that he marries, your aunt, is problematic, Midoraita. So Midorabanan, they also added an aunt when your father's brother was through a common mother and not a common father. And then on your mother's side, now your mother's brother's wife, who's an aunt, is not technically not problematic for you, Min HaTorah. That aunt is from your mother's side is not problematic, since there is a side of the father involved, which is that your mother's brother through a common father, her half-brother through a common father, the woman that he marries is your aunt. That aunt is restricted midrabanan, not midoraita. Again, because midoraita, the only restriction is a brother with a common father or a sister. Those have aunts that are asurim midoraita. So the Chachamim extended that on the father's side to include half-brothers that come through the mother. And on the mother's side, they added it only when there's a common father, just because we need a tzad of the av, of the father, to be involved in order to make it similar to the problem doraita. So on the mother's side, if she has half-brothers that would share a common father, then their wives, who are your aunts, are problematic. Now, those are the first six arayot, shniot midrabanan. Now we have going down in generations. Those were up in generations. Now going down in generations, there are two, which are kalat bino, kalat bito. That is your son's daughter-in-law and your daughter's daughter-in-law. So if your son has a son, so that's your grandson. So this is your granddaughter-in-law. She is restricted midivrei sofrim, min HaTorah. Only your daughter-in-law is restricted midoraita, but already a second generation where it's your grandson, so your grandson's wife, who is the daughter-in-law of your son, or it can be your grandson's wife, who is the daughter-in-law of your daughter, both of those are restricted because of kalato, because of the fact that your daughter-in-law is restricted. So since this looks like a daughter-in-law, so to a granddaughter-in-law is also restricted, and those are 7 and 8 of the shniot arayot. Now, the Braita interludes with something that's not contextually relevant, which is the fact that it's not telling you something that's asur, but rather it's something that is mutar. That is mutar adam be'eshet chamiv. An individual is mutar to marry the wife of his father-in-law. Now, his wife's father, if he's married your wife's mother, then that's chamuto, that's your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law is restricted midoraita. On the other hand, if your father-in-law marries another woman, this is your wife's stepmother, then there's no restriction against you marrying her. There's no relationship there, no blood relationship. It's a stepmother to your wife, and she is your stepmother-in-law. That's what the Braita says, that that person can marry his stepmother-in-law, ube'eshet chorgo. And he also can marry the wife of his stepson. If he marries a woman who had a child through a different man, this is his stepson, that son gets married, then the wife of that son is not restricted to you. If he passes away, that woman's not restricted to you. The wife of your stepson is permitted. These are two what are seemingly shniot arayot, maybe would have thought should be restricted. Nevertheless, they are not restricted. The reason that the Braita mentions them is because of this ninth of the shniot arayot, which is restricted. And then the Braita is going to give a principle that involves all of these together, which is vasur bebat chorgo. You're not allowed to marry the daughter of your stepson. And that is because that's your wife's granddaughter. And the Torah says that one is not allowed to marry a step-granddaughter. That is bat bina or bat bita. So the Gemara is going to later ask, what do you mean this is shniot arayot? This is an iser doraita. So the Gemara will amend this to, so now the reason the Braita brought down these three is to tell you, v'chorgo mutar biishto. The stepson is permitted to marry your wife. Meaning that your stepson comes because you married another woman who had a child with a previous husband, And as far as your wife is concerned, to that stepson,
that is like a stepfather's wife, where the stepson's mother married his stepfather, and the stepfather had another wife, so there's no relationship between the stepson and the stepfather's other wife.
So this stepson is allowed to marry this individual's wife, Ubito, and the daughter of this individual, because the daughter of this individual has no relationship to the stepson. They are stepbrother and sister, and they have no blood relationship between them, and therefore there's no restriction between them. So as far as your stepson is concerned, he can marry this individual's wife, and he can marry his daughter, because they are stepbrother and sister, and therefore they're permitted to marry. The Eshet Chorgo Omeret, and therefore the wife of the stepson says, Ani Muteret Lecha, I am permissible to you. As we just said before, that with regards to a wife of a stepson, that wife is permitted to the individual. Ubiti Asura Lecha. On the other hand, my daughter is restricted to you. Because as we said before, that's Bat Bina, and Bat Bina is restricted. The granddaughter of the woman you married is problematic. So that granddaughter is restricted. So my daughter is restricted to you, but I am not restricted to you because granddaughter is a bloodline to the woman that you married. Whereas the daughter-in-law of the woman that you married has no blood relationship. It only comes through marriage. And that marriage was not connected to you because you only connected with these people through a marriage. Now Tosfot points out over here that even though our Gemara says that Eshet Chamiv, your stepmother-in-law, is Muteret, the Yushalmi says, Asura Mishum Marat Ayin. Problematic because of Marat Ayin. And Tosafot later along quotes that as being a din that's found in the Masechtot Ketanot and Masech Derech Eretz that says that a stepmother-in-law is impermissible to marry. There too it says, two stepchildren that grow up in the same house should not marry because of Marat Ayin. Even though again, there's no relationship between them because they are stepchildren to the parents, and they have no relationship to each other whatsoever. Nevertheless, since they grew up together, there's a certain Marat Ayin that's associated with it. There, the Gemara gives way out. If you go to a place where people don't know that they have that relationship or they grew up together, then there's no problem of Arayot. Whereas by a stepmother-in-law, there is a problem of Marat Ayin. And the Baal Yad Tosafot quote here a story with regards to the Rabbeinu Tam, that in Provence, there was an individual who had planned a wedding to marry his stepmother-in-law. And the food was ready, it was all catered, everything was ready, and the Rabbeinu Tam called the wedding off and said, you can't marry your stepmother-in-law because it's a problem of Marat Ayin. And over here, the Rishonim and Achronim argue as to whether Rabbeinu Tam only restricts that lichatchila, which means that before the marriage we wouldn't allow it, but after they got married, we wouldn't force them to get divorced. Or some of the Rishonim actually bring the story from the Rabbeinu Tam, is that after they were married, he forced them to get divorced, a stepmother-in-law, because it was a problem of Marat Ayin. So there's a machloket as to whether this is only a lechatchila restriction of Marat Ayin, or whether this is even bidiavad. We won't allow you to stay married because of Marat Ayin. So despite the fact that our Gemara over here says that Eshet Chamiv, a stepmother-in-law, is totally muteret, la'alocha, that's not the case because of the Yushalmi and the Masechtot Ketanot that say that that's a problem of Marat Ayin. So now the Gemara goes back to discuss those that were mentioned in the Braita, and the one that we noted was Bat Chorgo, that the daughter of your stepson is restricted. Now, the daughter of your stepson is restricted, Doraita. That's a din Doraita, Dichtiv, Bat Bino, Bat Bita. The woman that you marry, you may not marry her granddaughter, whether it's through her son, or whether through it's her daughter. Gemara says, Meshum Dekabai Demitna Seifa, that because the latter part of the Braita has to teach us Eshet Chorgo Omeret, and Omeret Lo can say to him, Ani Muteret Lecha, the wife of his stepson says, I am permitted to you, Ubiti Asur Lach, but my daughter is restricted to you. So Af Agav de Biti Asur Lach Midoraita, even though my daughter is restricted to you, Mina Torah, Bididi Lo Gazur Be Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would not go there with me at all. And as again, we explained that before, because of the fact that the bloodline to the granddaughter is something where you married a woman and there's a blood relationship, as opposed to the stepson's wife, where there's no relationship at all. So therefore, Tana Reisha Nami Bat Chorgo. So the Reisha mentioned Bat Chorgo, even though it's a Dindoraita, because it fits into that statement or that saying where the stepson's wife points out that she is permissible to the individual, But her daughter is not permissible, which seems to be an oddity. And because of that, we mentioned Bat Chorgo, even though it's a Din Doraita. So now, once you've done that, you only have 8 Shniyot Darayot that are being enumerated over here, because the 9th one, which is Bat Chorgo, is a Din Doraita. So Gemara says, Iochi, if that's the case, Eshet Chamiv, Nami Tema. Why don't we write in this same thing? We have a similar setup with regards to one's step mother-in-law, because there she can say, "Ani moteret lecha," I am permissible to you. The step mother-in-law is permissible to the individual. Ubiti, but my daughter is asur lecha, is restricted to you. Because if this stepmother has a child together with your father-in-law, then your wife and the child that is born are half-sisters because they share a common father. So the daughter that's born, you will be restricted from marrying because she is a chot ishto. So you can make the same statement that is made by the wife of the stepson can be made by the step-mother-in-law. She can say, you're allowed to marry me, but you can't marry my daughter who is the half-sister of your wife. Gemara says there's a difference. The reason the Braita did not include that is because ha-psikale, ha-lo-psikale. One of them is definitive and one of them is not definitive. With regards to the stepson, the wife of the stepson is always muteret, and the daughter born of that marriage is always a surah. There's no chance that she can ever be muteret. By achot ishto, as we've noted a number of times here, that's it's the tsurarot chayeha, that only when the wife is alive is achot ishto restricted. If this individual's wife passes away, then not only would he be permitted to marry his stepmother-in-law, he also would be permitted to marry her daughter. So now it won't be in all cases, because as long as his wife is still alive, he can't marry her half-sister. But after his wife passes away, he could marry her half-sister. So it's not psikale. It's not a definitive statement where she can say, I am permitted to you and my daughter is restricted to you. It's not true. Sometimes her daughter is permitted to you, and therefore it was not included in the klalim of the Braita. Now, Amar Rav, Arba Nashim Yesh Lehem Efsek. Rav says, of the 8 Shniyot Darayot over here, 4 of them are single restrictions midrabanan. The remainder of them continue to climb the ladder and continue on and on and on forever. Nokid Rabbi Yadei Tzlat. Rav enumerated 3 out of those 4. He couldn't figure out what the 4th one was, but he knew what 3 of them were. So let's just take, for example, Aim Imo, his maternal grandmother, which we mentioned as one of the Arayot, as well as Aim Aviv, as well as his paternal grandmother. Both of those are restricted as Shniyot La'arayot. Now, those Arayot are restricted every generation up. That means that one's maternal great-grandmother would also be restricted, or one's paternal great-grandmother would also be restricted. And just like Aim Aviv is restricted, or Aim Imo is restricted, so too is Aim Imo, or Aim Avi Aviv is also restricted. And that continues up. Every generation higher, that restriction would continue onward. And so therefore, those are considered to be arayot or shniyot arayot that en lam hefsek. On the other hand, there's certain arayot that only deal with a single generation and are not then extended to the next generation upward. And so Rav gives 3 examples of those. The first of which is Eshet Achia Aim Mina Av, Eshet Achia Av Mina Aim. These are the ants that we mentioned in the shniyot arayot, which is that your father's brother through a common mother, his wife, your aunt, in that situation is restricted midrabanan. And same thing on your mother's side. On your mother's side, her half-brother through a common father, his wife, who's your aunt, is also restricted midrabanan. But that's only true at the level of your parents, which means that your father's brother and your mother's brother, on the father's side, it's through a common mother, that's shniyot derayot. On the mother's side, it's through a common father that it's a shniyot arayot. Only those brothers' wives, those aunts, are restricted. But if you go up one more generation, ave aviv, meaning that your great uncles on either side, your great uncles on your father's side, or your great uncles on your mother's side, if they are common great uncles through, on the father's side, a common mother, or they are great uncles on your mother's side through a common father, their wives will not be restricted b'shniyot arayot. So that's what Rav says. That is only a single generation issue. And then the 3rd one is kalato, his daughter-in-law. And the Gemara will come back and ask about kalato. Daughter-in-law is restricted midoraita. So what's Rav speaking about? So we'll come back and discuss that in a second. But as Rashi explains over here, the reason for this distinction is because when it comes taima, mishum delo shaychi bahu erva deoraita, In that category of classification, there is no erva midoraita whatsoever. It's a erchoka to prevent against coming to an erva doraita. Aval emimo, when it comes to a maternal grandmother, the shayach midoraita erva doraita, in that lineage, there is an erva doraita, and therefore the confusion with that erva doraita makes it that it's an endless chain. So just like the mother is a problem midoraita, that's an erva doraita, then emimo, the maternal grandmother, is a problematic because she could be confused with emo. And same thing with a maternal great-grandmother. She could also be confused with emo. And therefore that chain is endless because there is an erva doraita in that category. In the category of mother, there is a din doraita. And therefore the din derabonan then extends it to a mother's mother, will extend to a mother's mother's mother. And it will keep going up the chain because they're all derivatives of the emo doraita. As opposed to these uncles, where there is no din doraita. The only uncle, as we explained before, or aunt, that is problematic, is your father's sister or your father's brother through a common father, his wife. Those aunts are problematic midoraita. These other aunts that we've included here are not in that category at all. They're aunts through a totally different relationship. They are, on the father's side, half-brothers through a common mother that have wives. Those aunts are restricted midorabanan, but they have nothing to do with anything doraita. They are just similar because they are aunts, and therefore they have that commonality between them. But there's nothing in that lineage that's doraita. Any relationship between a common mother is not going to create a restriction doraita. And same thing on the mother's side. The half-brothers of your mother through a common father, those are not restricted doraita. Those uncles, I mean their wives, the aunts on that side are not restricted midoraita at all. It's just because the aunts on the father's side are problematic when they share a common father. So on the mother's side, when they have a common father, we instituted a gzerah to protect against it. But in that category, there is no din doraita. None of your mother's siblings as aunts are problematic in terms of a half-brother. And similarly, for instance, with Eshet Avi Aviv, one's paternal step-grandmother is problematic because in that chain, Eshet Av, a stepmother, is a problem doraita. So the problem of step, paternal grandmother, is because of a stepmother. So that stepmother is doraita. So that anything that is patterned after it will then go up and up, up the chain because it can be confused with a stepmother. And therefore it is a din doraita that extends all the dinei derabanan, extend all the way up. And a maviv, regards to a paternal grandmother. Even though within that category there's no erva doraita because it's talking about your father's mother, your father doesn't have any din doraita, nevertheless, it goes all the way up the chain, em avi aviv. Your paternal great-grandmother is also problematic, demichelcha ve'em emimo, because that could be mixed up easily with one's maternal great-grandmother. And since they're so similar, therefore we keep it going up the chain, even though it itself doesn't have a din doraita. Kalato has a hefsek, and we'll explain that when we get to clarify what Rav is saying. Uziri mosif, Ziri finds the fourth one of the shniot arayot that doesn't extend forever, and that is af eshet avi imo, maternal grandmother-in-law, your wife's maternal grandfather who married a new woman. So that wife, that eshet avi imo, Ziri says has only one generation of problem because there's no pattern. There's nothing there that is a din doraita. The problem is Eshet Aviv, is his stepmother. His stepmother is only on the father's chain, not on the mother's side. Now we assert on the mother's side Eshet Avi Imo because of Eshet Avi Aviv. Because of the paternal step-grandmother, we also oser the maternal step-grandmother. But that's only an extension from the father's side, the paternal side, and therefore it's only a single generation problem. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'simanech. And the way to remember what Ziri did in order to add the fourth one is Dilai D'Rav. He's one generation above Rav. Rav discussed a problem at the parent level, which is speaking about half-brothers of your father through a common mother and half-brothers to your mother through a common father. Those aunts, their wives, those are problematic. Ziri adds on a generation above that. That's what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, that the Simanech is Dilai D'Rav, that he went one generation above Rav. Rav spoke about uncles and aunts, and Ziri added on a maternal step-grandmother. Rav, my time alo chashiv le. Why did Rav not then include that as one of those things that has a hefsek and it stops? Because he says, mifle le be'eshet avi aviv, because it gets mixed up with your paternal step-grandmother. The same way that we said, as Rashi pointed out before, that when it comes to Aim Aviv, which is problematic because of Aim Imo, just like your maternal grandmother and your maternal great-grandmother were restricted, so too he restricted your paternal grandmother and your paternal great-grandmother all the way up because they could be confused. So the same thing should be true over here, that if the problem is a step-grandmother, you can be confused. If the problem is on the paternal side, then a maternal step-grandmother could be confused with a paternal step-grandmother. Since they're so similar, just like it goes up the generations with regards to a maternal grandmother and great-grandmother, it derives from a problem derived of Imo, then same thing on the paternal side, we said that it goes up the generations, even though there's no din d'oraita, because it's so similar. Grandmothers on both sides can be confused. Great-grandmothers on both sides can be confused. And Rav says the same thing over here. A step-grandmother on the maternal side can be confused with a step-grandmother on the paternal side. And therefore, it goes up the chain. Ziri says that confusion doesn't happen, because the hotam shkiach v'ozil. The hacha lo shkiach v'ozil. To the father's family, you spend a lot of time with them. With the mother's family, you do not spend as much time. That is because in their day, the woman, once she married, and the family lived together with the father's family. And therefore, they were much more of kin and part of the father's family than the mother's family. There was some distance between the mother's family. And that means that this individual, much more in touch and close with his paternal side relatives, rather than his maternal side relatives. It has to likely do with the fact that the Yerusha comes through the father. And therefore, in general, the person is closer to the relatives on the father's side, because that's the root of the inheritance, and therefore the family of the inheritance stays close together, or they stay together with the father's family, where the woman moves over to the father's family. And we discussed this more heavily in Moed Katan with regards to Avelut for a wife, as to whose responsibility was that. Was that the mother's family? Or the father's family, once the woman is married, does she now shift over to the father's family, and therefore the avelut is the obligation of the husband and his family? Or is it she's still a part and parcel of the original family where she came from, and therefore her family are still avelim over her? Now we discussed the Rambam and the Ramban's different opinions with regards to that. So over here, Ziri is making that point that with regards to a Eshet Avi Imo, your maternal step-great-grandmother, that's not going to get confused with your paternal step-great-grandmother. And that's because you spend a lot of time with your paternal side, so your paternal great-grandfather you're going to spend a lot of time with, and therefore he remarries, you'll know that woman. As opposed to your maternal side, your maternal great-grandfather, even if he marries a new woman, it's not going to be something where if you can marry her, or be in touch with her, that's going to get confused with a paternal step-great-grandmother. So now the Gemara asks the question that we noted with regards to Rav's third, one of the Shniot d'Orayot, that is only for one generation, and as Kalato. Gemara says, Kalato d'Orayta hi. His daughter-in-law is a restriction mid'Orayta, d'chtiv, ervat kalatcha lo tegalem. It's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. So Gemara answers, emat kalat b'no, that it's referring to his son's daughter-in-law, your granddaughter-in-law, and your son's son, your grandson's wife. The kalat b'no yesh la hefsek. Is that really true? That doesn't continue down. V'hatanya, don't have a breita, kalato erva. His daughter-in-law is an erva midoraita. Kalat b'no, your son's daughter-in-law, shnia, is a din of shniot d'orayot. V'chein hata omer. That continues down all the generations. Bibno, uben b'no, ad sof kol ha'dorot. As long as you have a son, a grandson, a great-grandson, all the way down, any one of their wives has a din like kalat b'no. As you see, it does continue down the generations. It doesn't stop because there's a din d'oraita that starts, which is kalato. And then from kalato, that extends down to daughter-in-law, granddaughter-in-law, great-granddaughter-in-law. All of those are restricted mishniot d'orayot. Ela'ema, that Rav, when he said kalato, didn't mean kalato midoraita, but rather kalat bito. His daughter's daughter-in-law, which is, again, his granddaughter-in-law through his daughter. The Amar of Chista, how milta migavra rabba shmili. I heard the reasoning for this from a great individual, Umanu. Rabbi Ami, that's Rabbi Ami explained this. Lo asru kala, elami pnei kala. They only restricted a daughter-in-law because of a daughter-in-law. V'amru li kaldai, and the Babylonian astrologers told me, malafna havait, you're going to be a teacher. Amina, I said to myself, Igavra Rabba Havina, if I become a great Talmud Chacham, because that's what it meant, that I'm going to become a teacher, I'm going to be a teacher of the Rabbim, I'm going to be a great Talmud Chacham, I'm going to be a leader in the yeshiva, then Asabra Midati, one day I'll figure out what Rabbi Ami said, and I'll explain it on my own. I mikra didake Havina. On the other hand, if I'm going to become a teacher, which means I'm going to be teaching in the cheder, and I'm going to be teaching kids, I'm not going to be this great Talmud Chacham that's teaching in the Bnei Yeshiva, Shalimi Rabbonon, Datu Bnei Knishta. I'll ask the Rabbonon who come to the shul to drop off their kids. I'll ask them the explanation for this. Hashta Savarta Midati. Now, I figured out my own what the meaning of Rabbi Ami was. So he heard this saying from Rabbi Ami when he was young, and he really didn't know what it meant, but he said that the astrologers told him that one day he's going to be a great teacher. So knowing that he's going to be a great teacher, he says, well, one of two ways I'll come to figure out what Rabbi Ami said. Either if I'm a great teacher of my own right, then I'll be able to figure it out on my own. If I'm a teacher of young kids, then others will bring their children here and the Rabbanon I'll interact with, I'll get the answer from them. So in the end, he figured it out himself. Lo asru kalat bito, ela mishum kalat bino. The only reason that your granddaughter-in-law through your daughter is restricted is because of your granddaughter-in-law through your son, because the dindo raita is kalato. Your daughter-in-law is restricted mido raita. Therefore, any daughter-in-law through the male line down, which is child, grandchild, great-grandchild, all of those sons going down the chain, the woman that they marry is very similar to daughter-in-law. It's daughter-in-law, granddaughter-in-law, great-granddaughter-in-law. As long as it's through the bino, that's similar to the dindo raita. Therefore, there's no hefsek. On the other hand, when it comes to your daughter's daughter-in-law, meaning that it's your grandson through your daughter, the woman that he marries, kalato, is restricted mishnah this be divrei sofrim. That's because it's similar to your granddaughter-in-law through your son. And since given that similarity, we say we don't want any confusion, and therefore the chachamim restricted a granddaughter-in-law through your daughter. But they only did it that generation. Once it reaches another generation down, a great granddaughter-in-law, there already it's not premised on a dindo raita, only because it's similar to kalat bino, therefore it doesn't have an extension that goes all the way down, it only has one generation of restriction, because Rashi explained before, when there's a derivative midoraita, like kalato, then it continues all the way down the chain, and that means son, grandson, great-grandson, all their wives will be restricted midine sofrin because of kalato, because of your daughter-in-law. On the daughter's side, then her daughter-in-law will be restricted because that's similar to a granddaughter-in-law on your son's side, but that'll only be for one generation because that's only because it's similar, not because there's a dindo raita on that side. And so that's what Rav said, that kalat bito was only a single generation problem. Amalei Abaye the Rava, Sabra Lecha, Kagon, Kalata, Debates, Bartzitai. I'll explain to you it's similar to the daughters-in-law of this family or this famous family, the Bartzitai. Rapapa Amar Kagon Kalatad Bey Rapapa Bar Abo. Ravashi Amar Kagon Kalatad Bey Mari Bar Isak. As Tosva points out, each individual here is mentioning a famous family or a very
prominent
family that was in their generation who had this experience by where the granddaughters-in-law, both through their sons and daughters, were still associated with the family name. So all of these were famous families, and therefore the daughters-in-law, both through the son and through the daughter, were well known to be connected to the family. So for instance, Mari Bar Isak, his son's daughter-in-law, and his daughter's daughter-in-law, both of them were still part of the Mari Bar Isak family. They still carried the name of Mari Bar Isak. So if one permitted someone to marry the granddaughter-in-law through the daughter, then they would confuse that with the granddaughter-in-law through the son. And so therefore they restricted both of them. That's at least on the second generation, meaning that daughter-in-law, obviously daughter is restricted d'oraita, daughter-in-law is restricted d'oraita. Then when you move down one more generation, then it's also restricted on the male side, shniot d'orayot, which is a granddaughter-in-law, your grandson's wife. That's your grandson's wife, both through your son and through your daughter, because those daughter-in-laws or granddaughter-in-laws still are connected to the family name. Once you move down another generation on the father's side, I mean, if it's a son, a grandson, a great-grandson, that great-grandson's wife will still be restricted shneil d'arayot because it's still connected to the family name. On the daughter's side, that will not be the case. On the daughter's side, it's only her son, meaning the grandson through the daughter, that has that restriction. Whereas already in a great-granddaughter-in-law through your daughter, already that will not be necessarily connected to the family name and therefore won't be confused anymore with the family. So all they're pointing out here, it seems to be, is that these are major families or famous families, and therefore their daughters-in-law and their granddaughters-in-law were connected to the family, and that shows you why you would institute a restriction against granddaughter-in-laws through the daughter, as well as granddaughter-in-laws through the son, because they would be confused because they both carry the same name or connected back to the family. If we allow you to marry one, you would think you could marry the other. And so in order to prevent that, the Rabbanan restricted both of them. That's only up into the second generation. The first generation's Asurim Midoraita. Second generation is Divrei Sofrim. On the son, the male side, it continues forever. On the daughter's side, it only goes one generation because that's still where it can be confused with the male side. So now the Gemara goes back to the Shniot Arayot that we mentioned in the Braita and points out that some of these things don't make so much sense that they should be considered Shniot Arayot because they are a Gzera L'Gzera. They're a double Gzera. Yibailu, Eshet Achia Eim Mina Eim. The wife of your mother's brother through a common mother. Mahu. What is the din? So your mother's half-brother through a common mother, his wife, your aunt, through that way, is she restricted? Eshet Achiav Mina Eim. We know that when it comes to your father's half-brother through a common mother, his wife, that aunt, is restricted to you. And same on your mother's side. And similarly, on your mother's side, a half-brother through a common father, his wife, that aunt, is restricted to you. Because there's a father's side involved. Father's side involved either by the mother, it's because they are half-brother through a common father. Or on the father's side, because it's the father's side, even though they only share a half-brother through a common mother, but it's your father's side. So there is at least some sort of father involved in their paternal part of the relationship there. That's why the Rabbanan instituted it. On the other hand, when it's your mother's half-brother through a common mother, that's all on the maternal side. It's your mother, so that's maternal. And her half-brother is through a common mother, so that's also maternal. So the entire relationship is on the maternal side. Maybe the Chachamim weren't gozer there at all. Or maybe it makes a difference. They instituted it with regards to aunts in period. Aunts of half-brothers, no matter what the relationship is, they instituted it. Amar Rav Safra, he gufa gzera. Wait a minute. The Oshniot Arayot already gzerot. Now you're telling me, on top of those gzerot, you want to include a maternal half-brother through a common mother, where there's no tzara av. That would become a gzera the gzera. Amarava. All the cases that we mentioned before in the Braita are gzera l'gzera. As we pointed out in the Braita, that the first one of them was a connection to a dindoraita, and the second was because it was similar to the one that was connected to dindoraita. Gemara will give an example. Imo, his mother is an erva. Eim imo, shnia. His grandmother is a shnia l'orayot. V'gazru, aleim aviv, mishum eim imo. And they were gozer on his paternal grandmother because of his maternal grandmother. But his maternal grandmother is only restricted because of his mother. So that becomes a gzerah, the gzerah. The time am I. So why did they do that? If we don't have a gzerah, the gzerah, based on the pasuk actually that we quoted earlier in the Gemara, ushmartem et mishmarti, that you should make a mishmeret the mishmarti, velo mishmeret the mishmeret. You should make a guard or a fence to my laws, but not a fence to the fence. And that's what happens when you have gzera l'gzera. It means that you're making dinei chachamim or dinei derabanan, and then you make a fence around the dinei derabanan. That's going too far. The permission is to create a fence to protect against doraita, so you have one ring of dinei derabanan, but then you don't have dinei rabanan on top of dinei derabanan. So why did we institute a paternal grandmother because of a maternal grandmother who's only instituted because of a mother? Because kulu d'be'ima rabati karule. They're all called grandmothers. Whether it's a maternal grandmother or a paternal grandmother, you still call them grandma. And so they're very easily confused. Since they're very easily confused, it's a single gzerah that says grandmothers are restricted because of mother. Eshet aviv erva. Your stepmother is arayot midoraita. Eshet avi aviv shnia. When it comes to your grandfather's wife, which is your step-grandmother on the paternal side, that's a shnia l'arayot. Because you have your stepmother, and now you have your step-grandmother on the paternal side, so that's one step above. That can be confused with a stepmother. Begazru, and then also add on a gzerav, eshet avi imo, that on your maternal side, your step-grandmother on your maternal side is also restricted. Why? Because of eshet avi aviv, for the same reason, because it can be confused with a step-grandmother on the paternal side. The time of why do we allow for gzera the gzera? Kula de Bay Abarabad Korile. Everybody there is called a grandfather. Your paternal grandfather and your maternal grandfather are both known as grandfathers. So when you speak about a step-grandmother, step-grandmother, whether it's from a grandfather on the paternal side or a grandfather on the maternal side, they look the same because everybody calls their grandfather grandpa, even if it comes from his maternal side or it comes from their paternal side. So they're really considered to be a single entity because of that. Eshet Achiav Minaav Erva. As we noted before, your aunts through marriage, which is your father's brothers through a common father, their wives are your aunts, and they're Asurim in Arayot Midoraita. Eshet Achiav Minaim. On the father's side, his half-brothers, through a common mother, their wives are not restricted midoraita. So the Chachamim instituted Eshet Achiav Minaim. When you have a father's brother through a common mother, we were gozer shniyot derayot, so it doesn't become confused with a half-brother through a common father. So those uncles, wives, your aunts, are restricted. Begozrul Eshet Achiav Minaav, and they were also gozer on the mother's half-brothers through a common father, Ishum Eshet Achiav Minaim, because of the opposite side, on the paternal side, where if you have half-brothers through a common mother, then they were restricted also, Mishniyot Derayot. So we have a mix of mother-father, so those were extensions of Mishniyot Derayot. Problem is, a half-brother on your paternal side, on your father's side, that is your uncle through a common father, his wife, your aunt, is problematic. Now, we extended that to include half-brothers through a common mother, because there'll be confusion between half-brothers through a common father versus half-brothers through a common mother. So now that's all on the paternal side, because that's where the problem is midoraita. On the maternal side, there is no problem midoraita with regards to her half-brothers. Nevertheless, her half-brother through a common father, we did restrict his wife, your aunt there, because it's a mix of mother and father. It's your mother's maternal half-brother through a common father, which can be confused with, on the paternal side, a half-brother through a common mother. And so because of that confusion, we made a gzeira. Why again do we have an extension of gzeira? The kulu, the beidode, karilu. They're all called your uncles. Since they're all called your uncles, therefore, we make their wives restricted to you as if they are aunts that are problematic, even though it comes from the paternal and the maternal side. My, so then what's the din between for a maternal half-brother through a common mother where there's no tzara'av? Maybe we should say there, they're all called uncles. It says they're all called uncles, maybe that should be the case. Tashma, Tichiyat Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Amri Bir Marova, they say in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Shemine Keva, Erva, B'zachar Gazru Al Ishto Mishum Shnia. Any place where the woman herself is an Erva, then the wife of someone who's that same level will also be a Shniyah L'Arayot. As Gemara is going to point out, that this is not really a great principle. So the idea would be that just like a mother is restricted, then the stepmother, the wife of your father, is also restricted. Because over there you have the woman, the Nekeva is an Erva. And therefore Esha Daviv would be something that's Shniyah L'Arayot. There it happens to be Doraita, but that's the concept. That something where the woman herself would be restricted, then the wife of a male at that same level would also be restricted, at least Shniyah L'Arayot. Is that really a principle? Let's go through this. Chamuto erva. His mother-in-law is arayot midoraita. Eshet chamiv muteret. As we saw in the Mishnah, your step-mother-in-law is permitted. There's no problem with the step-mother-in-law. So there's a case where a woman at the same level is not shniyot derayot, because the mother-in-law, who was the wife of your father-in-law, that mother-in-law would be restricted to you midoraita. Yet, if the father-in-law marries another woman who's not the mother of your wife, a stepmother-in-law, she's completely permitted. Based on your principle, it should have been restricted, the Shniyot Arayot. Same thing now. Bat Chamuto Erva, your sister-in-law, that means your mother-in-law's daughter, which is your wife's sister through a common mother, she is restricted to you, Midoraita. Eshet Ben Chamuto. On the other hand, if your mother-in-law has a son who is now your wife's half-brother through a common mother, his wife is not restricted to you. That sister-in-law you have no relationship to whatsoever, because your wife's relationship to the brother is a half-brother through the common mother, and his wife is not restricted at all. Bat chamiv erva. The daughter of your father-in-law is an erva, which means that's your wife's sister through a common father. She's a half-sister through a common father. that woman is restricted to you. Eshet ben chamiv, on the other hand, if your father-in-law has a son, which is your wife's half-brother through a common father, his wife is muteret, is permitted to you. So these sister-in-laws are permitted to you, even though the women in that state, those sister-in-laws who are your wife's half-sisters, are problematic. If she has a half-sister through a common mother or a half-sister through a common father, they are restricted to you. On the other hand, if she has half-brothers through a common father or half-brothers through a common mother, their wives, those sister-in-laws, are permitted to you. So again, the principle doesn't work. Going on, chorgato erva, your stepdaughter is a rayot min haTorah. Eshet chorgo, your stepson's wife, is muteret. That's what we saw in the braita that we brought before. So here your stepdaughter, who's in nekeva, in that position, is restricted midoraita. Yet a stepson's wife, who is a equivalent level arayot through marriage, doesn't have a shniot arayot, just totally muteret. Bat choragto erva. The daughter of your stepdaughter is arayot. That's bat bita. Eshet ben chorgo, on the other hand, the wife of your step-grandson is muteret, meaning that your stepson's son's wife or your stepson's daughter-in-law is permitted. So again, these are women at the same level where the step-granddaughter is restricted midoraita and the step-granddaughter-in-law is permitted even mishneot arayot. So Rava says, I don't understand this principle that you're laying out over here. So now the Gemara asks, Had Rav Yehuda bar Shila letuyemai? Now that we dismiss this principle, then what is the value of this principle? What is it coming to include? Lav le'atuye, isn't it coming to include eshet achiyaim min ha'aim? Isn't it coming to include the case where you have a uncle who is your mother's half-brother through a common mother? This is all through the maternal side. T'chol b'shekeva erva b'zachar gazru. Because anything where the nekeva, the aunt herself, would be erva, and your wife's sister, whether through a common father or a common mother, would be erva deoraita. So too, your uncle, through who's a half-brother through a common mother, his wife, should also be restricted at least, means shneot arayot. So since the nekeva is an erva, since the aunts are outright arayot, bezachar, her half-brother, gazru ishto mishum shnia. They instituted a gzerat chachamim, a shneot arayot, with regards to your uncle's wife. And therefore the Gemara concludes, based on Rav Yehuda bar Shila's principle, which, as Rava points out, has very little application, because it's not true in many cases, then he must have said it for some reason. And where does it have application? Must be in our case over here, where you have a aunt through a situation in which the aunt herself, had she been a half-sister through a common mother or common father, would be restricted to you. So too, an aunt married to a half-brother through a common mother, or through a common father, will be restricted mishniot la'arayot. So mashna hani, or mashna ha. Wait a minute. Why, in all these other cases, do we not invoke the principle where the woman herself is restricted midoraita, yet the woman is married to a zachar at that level, is muteret legamre? We gave you tons of examples like that. And all of a sudden you're saying, in this one example, with regards to an aunt, there we imply the principle. Why would we apply the principle there, and not in one of those other cases? Our answer is, that's because there's a big difference. The difference is, how many marriages do you need in order to create the kirva, in order to create the relationship? In the case of, for instance, let's take a stepdaughter is asur in erva midoraita. On the other hand, a stepson's wife is not asur as muteret legamre. How many marriages do you need to create that kirva, that relationship between them? It requires two marriages to do that. That is because, first of all, you have to marry the woman who has this stepson. That's one marriage. The second marriage is that stepson now has to get married to a woman that creates your stepdaughter-in-law. So those two marriages for there to be any relationship between you and the stepdaughter-in-law. Since there's two marriages between you, they did not institute shniot arayot. There is a din d'oraita where your stepdaughter through one marriage is problematic. That's a din d'oraita. But the Chachamim then did not institute another parallel to the son's wife, who would be the equivalent level woman at that level, is because that requires another marriage. In order for there to be a relationship between you, that requires two marriages. That's not true by one's aunt. That is because your mother is already a first degree relative that exists. And so her half brother is something that exists just because you're related to your mother. So your relationship with your mother automatically relates you to your uncle, who is an uncle, a half-brother to your mother through a common mother. It only requires now one marriage to create a new relative, which is your aunt. When your uncle, who is a half-brother to your mother through a common mother, gets married, that marriage then makes your aunt a relative of yours. So it only requires one marriage to create a relationship between you and that aunt, because the only thing that stands between you being related to that woman is your uncle getting married. You don't have to get married. You don't have to do anything because you have a first degree relationship with your mother. So since over there, there's only a 1 degree separation between you, one marriage will then make you relatives. Over there, the Chachamim were gozer, just like your aunt would be restricted. So too your aunt, because she's the wife of your mother's half brother, is also restricted because that's only one marriage to create that relationship. On the other hand, when it comes to your stepdaughter-in-law, that will require 2 marriages to create the relationship. You need one marriage, which is the fact that you married this woman who already has a son to make your stepson. And then you need a 2nd marriage, which is the stepson gets married to a woman that makes that into your stepdaughter-in-law. So since there's 2 degrees of separation because it creates 2 marriages to create the kirvah between you, that the Chachamim were not gozer. And that's the difference between why the principle of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila applies by your aunt and does not apply by your stepdaughter-in-law. Shalach le Rav Mesharsha mitusnaya, the Rav Papi, sounds like Tunisia, sent to Rav Papi, Yilamdein Rabbeinu, Eshet, Achi, Avi, Ha'av, the wife of your great uncle. So this is your grandfather's brother, his wife. So it's your great aunt through marriage, or your great uncle's wife. Is that Shniot Arayot? V'achot, Aviav. And similarly, your grandfather's sister, your great aunt, being the sister of your grandfather, Mahu. Do those have a din of Shniot Arayot? Midilamato Erva. Just like the generation below that is Erva, meaning your aunt, which is your father's sister, is an Erva, as well as your uncle's wife, they are Arayot. So just like that generation has Arayot, so do the generation above it, which means that your great aunt and your great uncle's wife, they are also Arayot or Shniot Arayot. So, Nami Gazrubeo Dilma Haid Palig, Darto. Was there a Gzerat Chachamim there? Or maybe there's a break between it's a new generation, and since it's a new generation, then it's too far away to be considered a relationship that we worry about Shniot La Arayot. So, Tashma. He says, we have a list in the Braita. Mahein Shniot. It has a list in the Braita of what the Shniot Arayot were. We had those 8 Shniot Arayot. And neither of these were listed in that list. There was no list of great aunts or great uncles' wives. So the Gemara says, maybe Tana v'Shir. Maybe that list is not exhaustive. It left things out of the list. My Shir, the High Shir. What else was left out of the list that you can say this was left out of the list? You can't say that it's not an exhaustive list because this was left out. If you have other examples of items that were left out, then you can explain why this was left out. So that's what the Gemara says. My Shir, the High Shir. What else was left out that it also left this out? Where it says, Shir, Shniot, the Bei Rabbi Chia. They left out the Shniot Arayot of the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chia, which we'll come to in the upcoming daf, and tomorrow's daf will explain the Shniot, the Bei Rabbi Chia. And since those were left out of that list is not exhaustive. That list is not exhaustive. Maybe they also left out great aunts and great uncles' wives, and maybe they are considered to be Shniot, La Arayot. And even though, as Tosfos points out, that a great aunt and a great uncle's wives are already 2 examples of things that are left out, so then you already have more than 1 example of something that's left out, and there might be exceptions to the rule. He says, like we've seen all along, those are considered to be 1 category. A great aunt and a great uncle's wife are all considered to be 1 entity. Those are great aunts. Whether it's an aunt because she's your grandfather's sister, or because it's your grandfather's brother's wife, those are both great aunts, and they're 1 category. So that's 1 category that was left out. Is there another category that was left out? And that's what the Gemara says, yes, the Shniot of Rabbi Chia were left out. As Tosfos points out, this question could be the same thing on your mother's side, on the maternal side. It could be your great aunt, because it's your grandmother's sister. And your grandmother's sister as a great aunt, is she restricted? Just like your great aunt, who is your grandfather's sister, is restricted. And Tosfos says either that's included in the question, or there are Girsaot in the Gemarot that included that as an additional question, as to whether that was restricted. Great aunt includes more than just the paternal side. It also includes things on the maternal side. It says that it's just 1 big question about great aunts. Okay, we're going to stop here. 5 lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Bet.